To be in a meeting like this is a real joy for any preacher, especially hearing the testimony and seeing the baptisms last night, seeing the work of God moving ahead for his glory. And I know that that's the motivation here. I've known Brother Charlie now for several years, and his testimony himself is amazing. But everyone's testimony is wonderful. Amen. Everyone who knows Jesus Christ as Savior has a miraculous testimony. For it takes a divine intervention of God in your life and in mine to bring us to the Savior. And that's no different than the hands of the Lord that broke the fishes and the loaves. He put his hand into your life and my life to show us what we need. We need the Lord. And it's just a real blessing to be able to hear others who come along. Thankfully, I've trusted the Lord 40 years ago, and I can report to you that he's gotten better and better all the time, and it gets better. The Lord is so good. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Oh, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. Sing with me. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior. To shout. Amen. Take your Bibles, would you please? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. At the top of the page on my Bible, I have written freedom's chapter. Freedom. We hear a lot about freedom in politics. We hear about financial freedom. We hear about emotional freedom. We hear about freedom from many and varied maladies and distresses. And we know what freedom means. It means to be loosed and to be set free, to be set at liberty. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul said, "Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath set you free. And we have a great and wonderful Savior who did not rebind us, but gave us the privilege of going like the slave of old to the doorpost and have his ear pierced for the sign that he would never leave his master. We have the privilege of coming to the Lord out of a free heart, having been born into the wonderful family of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And we have the great joy of being able to report to others how wonderful God is and how wonderful God works in our lives. So if you found your place in Romans chapter 8, we'll read a few verses, then we'll pray, ask God to help us to gain understanding and blessing here this morning. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful men, or sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Let's pray together and ask God to help us. Our Father, we're thankful for the Word of God, for we know that it's quick, it's living, it's powerful, it's sharp, it's like a razor, it can cut to the very bone of our lives and can bring us to a place of understanding truly what we are before thee, lost, undone, and unholy, and ungodly, in a present world without hope. But Lord, then it also tells us and promises us that you love us, that you had an everlasting love for your creation, sending Christ into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And his sacrifice on Calvary is all sufficient for any and all who will believe. Trust. Lord, I pray today that there would be salvation wrought in the heart and life of that one who's here without Christ. I pray, dear God, that you would work in the hearts and lives of your people, strengthening the inner man with the doctrine of truth, building us up, dear Lord, with the knowledge that you're ever present with us and nothing surprises you, whatever life throws at us. So, Lord, help us to be strong in the Lord and the power of thy might. And, Lord, help us to go forward here in this particular part of Newcastle and the city itself and the state of New South Wales and the great land of Australia to the utter ends of the earth with the gospel. Help us, for we know it's your work, done your way is always successful. And we pray that you'll have your will and way now in every heart and every life, because it's in our Savior's precious name we ask it with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Freedom, free from many things. The first thing that is pointed out to you and I here this morning is that we are free from the condemnation that was upon us. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. Now, I want you to think about what it means to be condemned. We could go back in history and bring forward several illustrations, but time-wise it would be profitable, I'm sure, and it would be helpful, but because of time, we'll think of one or two. There have been those who have been condemned to death down through history for many and very different things. Some were criminals, some were patriots, some were just ordinary people who were found guilty of a crime that they were innocent of, but they were condemned to death with no possibility of reprieve. I think of Peter. Peter was taken, and James, the brother of John, had been already beheaded, and Peter was taken because he was a spokesman for the church in so many ways. And he was condemned to death, and he was asleep. That condemnation that was upon him was mere human condemnation. In other words, human condemnation for the believer is no threat, really. You're going to threaten me with death, I'm going to heaven. But when you think of condemnation in the spiritual realm, and you think about that which happened in the beginning when Adam sinned willfully, Eve having been deceived, Adam sinned willfully and brought sin upon all men. And God has condemned sin. God has condemned the individual who is an unforgiven sinner. They're condemned already because they have not yet believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Condemnation has to do with no reprieve. Condemnation has to do with no parole. Condemnation has to do with no exit, no escape in the spiritual realm. And so humanly speaking, there was no way out for me. I'm in this boat called condemnation, and it's taking on water, and it's going to go down, and there is no help in sight. There is nothing to rescue me. I can't swim long enough or far enough to get to any shoreline whatsoever. The sharks are all around me. I am condemned to certain death spiritually, for the soul that sinneth, it shall what? Surely die. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So how do I get in Christ Jesus? There's lots of preaching about this, but in simplicity, when we call upon the name of the Lord, the Spirit of God reaches down into the muck and the mire of our lives and pulls us out the arm of God and sets our feet upon a rock, puts a new song in our mouth, even praise unto God, and establishes our goings. How does he do that? By placing us in Christ Jesus. Little boy was talking to his grandfather as they walked along the shoreline. He said, "Gramp, I don't understand what it means, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and me being in Christ. How can I be in Christ and he in me?" There was a bottle floating He said, son, wade out and get the bottle. So he waded out and he got the bottle and had a cork in it. And you know the old story how somebody put a bottle with a note in it and corked it and threw it out and help me if you find this, you know, kind of thing. There was no note in this one, just a discarded bottle. The grandfather said, son, what is this? He said, it's a bottle. He said, okay, this is you. You're the bottle. Understand that? Yep. He said, okay, I want you to take and put some seawater in the bottle. So he uncorked it, and the boy reached down and put some seawater in the bottle, filled it right up, put the cork on it. He said, that water is Christ in you, the hope of glory, like the Bible says. Got Christ in you because you opened up the bottle and you invited him in. You asked him to come into your heart. Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. It's like taking the cork off of your bottle of life and asking to be filled with the person of Jesus Christ to save you. Put the cork back on the bottle. He said, son, I want you to take that bottle and hurl it out there in the sea just as far as you can. All boys like to see how far they can throw things. Threw it out there. He said, now what? He said, son, is Christ still in the bottle? He said, yes. He said, is the bottle in the Christ, in the sea? He said, I see. So every time you look at S-E-A, think of S-E-E. I see. I see the truth that Christ, who is divine, who is God, who is a spirit, and must be worshipped in spirit and in truth, can be in me as I invite him in to save me, but I am also placed in Christ eternally, secure in the Lord Jesus, who has promised and never fails. There's now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ. You must be born again, Jesus said. What a wonderful joy and blessing it is when we get saved. Amen. Now, every one of us goes through different experiences and different avenues in order to come to the place of brokenness and contriteness when we repent of our sin and believe on the Lord Jesus. This man, I'm sure, if we were to be given the details, would be notorious for his sin. If you had the details of my existence, there would be some notoriety about that. My daughter, on the other hand, was 5 years of age. We were up in Yeppoon, Queensland. I was preaching a youth camp up there. 35 years ago now. She'll be 40 this year. Unbelievable. She doesn't want me to tell anybody that. But I was preaching a youth camp, and another man was doing the younger children, the ages from 8 to 12, and I had the 13 on up. And my daughter was with us because we took her. And my wife was helping around to different areas, and so when the man with the young people had a chalkboard, and he was doing some chalk artist work while he was explaining the Bible stories, etc., her mother said, Victoria, you sit there on that seat right there, and you don't move a muscle and disturb him. Yes, Mom. She said, her daddy will be back anytime. Yes, Mom. 5 years old. Does the chalk work, talks to the 8 to 12-year-olds. It's over. I'm out on the horses with the young people. I come back. It's lunchtime, and my wife said, we've already eaten, and Victoria is taking her nap, or supposed to be. But she said she wanted to talk with you as soon as you got back. It was important. Looked around the corner. There she is. I said, hey, you. You're supposed to be sleeping. Oh, daddy, come talk to me. I said, you're supposed to be sleeping. You're naughty. She said, I know I'm naughty, daddy, but please, you got to talk to me. I said, about what? She said, I want to get saved. I said, you want to get saved? Saved from what? She said, the man showed us how Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood so that we could be born into the family of God. And she said, would you pray with me? I said, I'll let you pray and then I'll pray. How about that? She crawled out of that bed, out of that cot, got down on her little knees. And she said, dear Lord Jesus, would you save a sinner like me? I was busted. Man, I didn't know if I was going to cry or blow up or what, but I said, oh God, I don't know how this has come about, but praise God for it. I want you to save my little girl. I believe that you do when the whisper of prayer comes. My 8-year-old grandson called me a couple of years ago on the telephone. I was in Canada. He said, hey, Grampy, how you doing? I said, does your mother know you got the phone? He said, yeah, no worries. He said, I got to talk to you. I said, what about? He said, I got saved. I said, you got what? He said, I got saved. He said, I was going through the wordless book with the sisters. And he said, I realized that my little heart was black with sin and that the blood of Jesus Christ could wash me clean. And I see that I can have saved a life of salvation with Christ. And I said, well, praise God. He said, okay, bye. Hung up. About 4 weeks later, my wife and I drove into their dooryard. And I'm thinking, well, I wonder if he was really sincere, if he really meant it. And the whole family was standing at the garage door waiting for us. The girls had smiles on their face, big time, happy to see their Mimi. They're not sure about me yet. And so Mimi gets out, and the girls go out, and they're hugging their Mimi, and You know what you bring us, Mimi, and all that kind of stuff. But Connor comes running around the front of the truck, and he grabs me around the waist. He says, Grampy, you remember how I called you? And I told you I got saved? I said, yeah. He said, I'm getting baptized. I said, that's good. I said, this thing didn't wear off. In other words, you really meant it. Yeah, but see, the thing that brings tears to my eyes is that my daughter and my grandchildren did not go down a path too far. Like their grampy. You see, we all come from different avenues and different places at different times when we hear the gospel, and the gospel tells us, you can get out from underneath the condemnation that's already upon us. We have freedom from the condemnation that Almighty God placed upon this world. Not only freedom from condemnation, but we're set free from the consequences of sin. Oh, we carry some baggage with us, but eternal consequence of sin is eternal death in hell. Sin of unbelief take a person to hell. And when you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, according to what we read here, we have freedom eternally from any consequence of unbelief and any consequence of sin that would take place in our life as long as we make certain that confession is made. The consequence oftentimes is lightened. You sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind. But if you sow and you realize you've sown it wrong, you can get on your knees and say, dear Lord, I confess my wrong. But in reality, there's wonderful freedom in the Christian life. Freedom from the dominion of sin having ruled over us. In Ephesians chapter 2, which this young man quoted as a verse that spoke to him in the prior verses, it says, "And ye who were dead in sins and trespasses, hath he quickened or made alive, having walked according to the prince of the power of this world, according to the course of this world." You see, prior to getting saved, we just naturally, like a river flowing downhill, we just naturally went after the things of the natural man and after the whims and the wiles of the prince of the power of the air, the devil himself. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, "Ye are of your father the devil, who is a murderer and a liar from the beginning," and every single human being needs to be born into the family of God and brought out from underneath the condemnation and relieved and given freedom from the consequence of that sin. I am so glad that Jesus bore the consequences of my sin, aren't you? Amen. He bore the penalty and the consequence of all my sin when he bled and died on Calvary's cross. I'm also free from the enslavement and bondage of the wicked one. When I was unsaved, I thought I was doing my own thing. As he said, 14 years of age, everything was fun and games. And it's just like the devil, you know, he's an enticer. Young men, he'll hold out any number of different attractions, like a lure to a fish. I like to fish. I've got a whole box full of lures, spinners, and different things. My wife likes to fish. She fishes with one thing, worms. After I buy them, she fishes with worms. I get my tackle box out and this one will work here. It's just right in the sunlight, and I get it all hooked up. My wife says, "Bait my hook." So I put the worm on for her. She goes, boom, boom, like that. She catches them all the time. She said to me the other day, she said, "Why do you use all those lures?" Because I said, "I'm after a certain fish. You're after anything that bites." But the devil, he's got all these allurements, doesn't he? I mean, he's got a tackle box beyond our imagination. For you, it could be your special fish, by the way. For you, it could be a nice silvery, diamond-encrusted wedding band. And he lures you girls into marrying some reprobate so that you got to spend a life of misery. For us boys, he hangs a pinup calendar on the wall at work. Half-naked lady. All you men shake your head yes. Come on, be honest. Don't you lie about it. See, God knows that we're attracted by the eye gate. That's why there's billions and billions and billions of dollars spent on advertising a car with a half-naked woman sitting on the bonnet. So that we'll buy it and spend our money on a car that's supposed to have this woman for a hood ornament. And we go down through town and everybody says, "Hey, you got another car." They don't see no woman. But our mind has got it imprinted in our head. I got the car, get the woman. Lures of all kinds, power, fame, fortune. He's got them and he tosses them into your life. And come on, come on. And all of a sudden we take it hook, line, and sinker. And he's got us. Listen, that's the old life I've got a new life, and I can watch every lure go by, and if I keep my eyes fixed on Christ, I don't get caught. Am I tempted? Of course I'm tempted. Women, dress properly, please. What's the, I didn't know I was going to say this, but what's the standard for women's dress? Modesty of all things. That's enough. We are human beings, and the Bible says he remembereth our frame, that we are but what? Dust. If the sunlight was coming through there, you'd go. It's the most unstable thing there is. And he remembereth our frame, that we're but dust. We're allured, we're tempted. But being in Christ, I have had the dominion of sin removed. I'm free. And I don't have to respond, even though I may respond because of my free will and because of my lust or whatever. I might respond, but I don't have to anymore. And that's such a blessing. I'm not only free from the condemnation and from the consequences of eternal ruination, but I am free from present day bondage to sin. I don't have to be enslaved to it anymore. And fourthly and lastly, I now have the freedom to choose if I'm going to serve Christ or not. He doesn't force me. He wants me to love him from a free heart. The Apostle Paul said, I'm a debtor to all men. He didn't say he was a debtor to God. We're not debtors to God. That payment has been made in full, and it was made by grace for you and for me. But because we have the gospel, because we have the truth, we have the medicinal, we have the remedy, we have everything a person needs to know how to be saved, we are debtors to all men that we share it. In my pathetic, puny testimony of service, I've oftentimes fallen on my face and said, oh God, it would have been so much easier if you had just written your love across the skies. From cloud to cloud, you just write there in big bold letters, I am God and I love you, humankind, and I want to save you. But he didn't do it. So God, in my pathetic, puny efforts to serve you, it would have been so much better if you had tied the message of salvation with every rivulet and every waterway that courses down the mountains and sprinkles down onto the big oceans. If you had somehow put your name and put your love for us and your desire to save us on all of those rivulets and all of those things, let alone every raindrop. Dear God, it says you rain upon the just and on the unjust. If you would just have done that, people would get saved. But then God says back to me, I've chosen the base things of this world to confound the wise. The foolish things to bring to naught things that are. Okay. But I know better, Lord. You should have done it that way. He said, no, I chose to make you a human vessel. He said, now you can do one of two things. You can empty it of self, or you can try to keep half self in there and half of whatever. That's an admixture, it never works. Or you can say, dear Lord, here am I. I'm just a vessel. I want you to wash me and cleanse me and help me to stay that way. And then, dear God, would you just fill me up and pour me out to the world? You remember David being chased by Saul and his armies, intent on killing him. David was just a handbreadth from death so many times. Weak from escaping one time after another and tired, weary. How long is this going to last? I've been promised the kingdom. I've been promised to reign over Israel. And Saul is still going, and Saul has murder on his mind. Saul wants to kill me. One day as he looked over the brow and he saw Bethlehem, he went, if I could just have a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, oh, wouldn't that be refreshing? His three mighties heard him sigh. And with a love for their king, and a love for their captain, and a love for the one who was leading them eventually to take over the kingdom, they fought their way down through the Philistines. Hip and thigh, they fought their way down through a massive army, the three of them, and while two of them stood guard, one of them dipped a bucket down in the well and said, okay, boys, I got it. Let's fight our way back. And they fought their way back up on the hill, and they said, David, here is a vessel of water drawn from the well next to the gate of Bethlehem, and we want you to drink and drink it all. And David looked at that, and he said, these men have jeopardized their life and service for me. He said, I cannot drink it. I pour it out a thanksgiving offering to God. Who am I? He saved my wretched soul, set me free from condemnation and ruination and consequence. All of that, I've been set free. The jail doors are open, and he said, go out there and live your life unto me. How can I be selfish? But I am sometimes. How can I be stubborn? I am sometimes. How can I be filled with lethargy about the souls of men? I am sometimes. Shamefully so. But I thank the Lord that faithful is he who calleth you, who will also do it. And when I say, dear Lord, here am I. If you can use me in some small way to bring somebody to the Savior, help me. And what a joy it is to be free to make that decision. Not to be forced, but to say, dear Lord, here, right now, is my vessel. Take it and use it. Paul the Apostle said, I'm crucified with Christ. Yet not I, but the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And he said, I have a great debt to mankind, because my debt was paid for by the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father.